So, just when everything was going so well for Scotland under Alexander III in the 13th century, he had been killed in a storm. His successor, the little maid of Norway, also died, and that left the Scottish throne vacant. Now, altogether, there were a dozen contenders for the crown, each of whom considered that his background, his ancestry, gave him a claim above the others. Now, if they had fought over the issue, then it would have plunged the nation into a bloody civil war that might have lasted, centuries. It would have torn the country apart. They had enough sense, at least, not to fight, but instead looked for a form of arbitration. Unrealized by the Scots at that particular time was the fact that the Plantagenet King of England, Edward I, also had designs on Scotland. And it was to him that the Scottish nobles turned to arbitrate, to decide which of the claimants should become the new king. Edward, seeing his chance here, agreed to do so, but on his terms, and they were that whichever of the 12 he chose to be King of Scots was to pay homage to him, Edward I, and be subject to him, to be little more, in effect, than a puppet king. Most of the nobles, most of the claimants, agreed to this. Those that didn't stood no chance, but at least their honour was secure. But of the rest, those who agreed, to their eternal disgrace, left the English king to control Scotland. He decided eventually in favour of a man called John Baliol, one of the main contenders. Now, John Baliol might well, by his ancestry, perhaps, have been the strongest claimant to the throne, but he certainly wasn't cut out to be king. But, in due course, he was crowned King of Scotland and began his puppet reign. He became known eventually as Tomb Tabard, or Empty Coat of Arms, which was a way of saying, in effect, that he was a man of no substance because Edward pulled the strings and later stripped him of his title. When he began his reign, Edward made it humiliatingly clear a number of times just who was really boss. But then he went too far, even for Baliol. He ordered him and the Scottish forces to take part in an invasion of France that he was about to lead. But Baliol decided not to comply. Not only that, he went further. He entered into an alliance with the French king, Philippe, so beginning a long association between Scotland and France, later to be ratified by treaty, and which became known eventually as the Old Alliance. Edward I was absolutely incensed. Baliol must be crushed, and so in 1291 he marched northwards into Scotland at the head of a large army. Berwick, one of Scotland's richest boroughs and a thriving seaport, was destroyed and burnt. Edward and the English army then moved forward into a powerless and disunited Scotland and began to subjugate the country. Wherever there was resistance, it was ruthlessly and brutally put down. There was one example, for instance, where the nobles and the people of Dunbar resisted the orders of the Plantagenet king. And as a result, Dunbar was destroyed. The people were put to death. Their bodies were mutilated and hacked to pieces. And this was the way Edward I imposed his will upon Scotland. He installed his own men in key positions of government, Lord Bishops, sheriffs of the various counties and so on, and when he returned to London, he took with him the Stone of Scone. The Stone of Destiny from Scone Abbey, on which the Scottish kings had traditionally been crowned for centuries, and which to this day still rests beneath the coronation chair in Westminster Abbey. It has been there since 1296, apart from a short period a few years ago when it was taken by the Scottish nationalists as a protest. Baliol was imprisoned in England. He was finished, and Scotland was on its knees. Well, the country might have been hammered, but it wasn't completely lifeless, and the first signs of resistance came from a patriot who became known as the people's hero, a man who was to begin to assert Scotland's right to rule itself, a man who rose up gathered other like-minded patriots about him and began to cause the English a great deal of concern. His name was William Wallace. But more about him next time.